roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goat. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you're listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the Devious and Dastardly Goes, our East co-host. Goes, happy Monday. I'm getting ready to transfer from the fights that just happened in Auckland, New Zealand. Bellator chimed in, Ryzen chimed in, to now this fight week. Now, it's not a pay-per-view fight week, but I'm really excited about the flyweight division coming back strong. Benavidez versus Figueiredo. That's going to be pretty great. And then the following week, we have a mini junkie reunion, not like we used to have with our listeners, but with our staff, plus, of course, the fights, UFC 248. So I'm actually starting fight week 1 week early. I'm really that pumped. I swear to you. And coming off that Fury KO. There's like
boxing.
A lot going on. Plus, you called it, man. Our teams, we have a lot that are in common. They won this weekend. So that's why I'm pretty jazzed, even though it's early on Monday morning. I take it you're jazzed as well.
Oh, I thought you were doing the buckle up.
Oh, all right. Oh, yeah. That's what that was. Yeah. So you're right. Let's do that. We got a bunch of news nuggets. We're going to go through all these fight cards that happened. Blaze through some of them because, look, we got to be honest. Some cards have it. Some cards don't. It's as simple as that. So, some news, some fight bookings, and, of course, our experiences from the weekends. Buckle up, folks. Here we go.
In 2008, a former D1 football star pulled off a robbery so daring and so strange that it went viral worldwide. It was a perfect crime story. There was just one problem. It wasn't the real story of what happened. The Sneak is a new, serialized true crime podcast from For the Win and USA Today Sports. You can subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or get it anywhere you get podcasts on Tuesday, January 14th.
All right, last week, if you'll recall, I think I started with boxing. Can't do it again. Love boxing, but I can't do it again. Our sports mixed martial arts. So let's start with Dan Hooker versus Paul Felder, because that was the better main event on Saturday. On paper, Fury versus Wilder was it. Don't get me wrong. With respect to those guys. But Hooker versus Felder delivered. I scored it for Paul Felder, 48-47. The call was 48-47, two-time for Hooker, once for Felder, so the judges just had it another way. I'm not three people, I'm just one person. So I would have been just like that guy that submitted the score for Felder. I think, Goes, you said the same thing?
Yeah, I ended up having to watch that fifth round again, though, and I feel pretty good about saying I thought Paul Felder won the fight.
So
but
do I.
It was very, very close.
There's two sets of stats. There's stats that get put out during the broadcast, and then there's other significant strikes that I see that get attached to MMA decisions or something like that. I don't know. But according to what they were telling me, all right, going into round five, it was like 109-101 in advantage of Felder. And Felder still outstruck him by a few strikes in round five. And then on top of that, Goes, I also felt that Felder had the more impactful shots. So not only did he have more strikes, he had the ones that just boom, jarred Hooker's head back a little bit or made a louder noise or whatever you want to call it or maybe just cut him open. You know, there's different ways of defining impactful. I'm not always going to go by noise, obviously, but you know what I mean. Just it looked like it impacted, it damaged the other guy more. Now, that said, Hooker did have two takedowns. One of them, which Felder kind of defended both of them fairly well, except one of them he spent more time on the ground, whereas the first one he didn't. But yet, either way, I didn't see Hooker damaging Felder with what's called significant grappling. There was a scramble towards the end where he wound up inside control, but I think that scramble was initiated by Felder, who almost got up and actually was trying to spin or trying to out-scramble Hooker and get a better position. They just landed in a different position. But, I mean, there wasn't enough there for me to say that outweighs what Felder did. And Felder, of course, if you even want to fall back to other criteria, was definitely more of the aggressor. Especially in round five, I had it 2-2 going in. I'll give you the scores here in a second to tell you how they played out. But I had it 2-2 going into round five. That's why I didn't think the call was just.
Yeah, I think what could have maybe not helped Paul Felder out was just aesthetically, he didn't look very well, right? I mean, early on, within like the first minute, you could already see a little bit of swelling on that eye.
And the calf,
yeah. So I think maybe that might have hurt him a little bit, just the way he looked, the damage. But
Felder wore the calf well. He never once, like, you know, there's a lot of fighters that'll retreat or switch stances or whatever. He still kept doing what he was doing. Like, it's not like you could go, could the fight be stopped from kicks? No one said that.
No. But I think when you break down the fight, I just thought Paul did a little bit more, and I think he had more steam on his punches. So I felt very comfortable giving him the fight, but it didn't go his way, and it was a very, very close fight. And say what you will, I mean, I know people talk about hometown cooking, but when you look at the judges, you know, it's not like they're all from New Zealand or anything like that. I think what people more mean is just when Hooker does something, the crowd has more pop to it. It makes you feel like more is actually happening than it is. There's a little bit of that you have to contend with. So when you're going overseas and you're fighting on another dude's home territory, this could happen.
Yeah, and now here's where I break down the scores. Felder did get two 10s in round five from two different judges. Now, one of them, it got him the fight. He needed that round to win the fight because that guy had it 2-2 going into round five, except I thought Felder won round two and that guy didn't. All right, that judge's name was Barry Foley. And then there's another one, the blue judge. All right, there's red and blue corners, but there's also, that was the white judge, this is the blue judge, the colors. This one gave Hooker round 10. Had he given round 10 to Felder, then Felder would have got the second score he needed to win. So even though two judges gave him round 10, all right, it didn't matter because the one that didn't had two other rounds for Hooker, and that's why he got his 48-47. And then the yellow judge, oh, sorry, that was Howard Hughes, and then David Letheby, he did give a 10 to Felder. The only problem is he gave the first three rounds to Hooker. Now, arguably, 1 and 3 were Hooker rounds. I thought it was 2-1 Hooker going into round four, but I thought round two went to Felder, which if you look at the significant strikes, again, Felder won that round. What can you do, man? I'm trying to find different ways to figure this damn thing out, but we can't. I think when the show first started, 3,000 episodes ago, I said, hey, controversy is good for the sport, man. It helped make soccer thrive. I think it'll help MMA thrive. I still stand by that, all right? Because these controversies have us talking about this and not talking about others that fought on the card because more people want to talk about this. But yet, goes, if you think about it, we had to rewatch round five, and we weren't even there. We were here, and they were in Auckland, New Zealand. They had way better seats, you know, and those judges, look, we can make whatever jokes we want, but they're trained. I mean, they've watched fights before. You know what I mean? They're not idiots. I think it's just easy for us to say it. MMA Decisions was definitely way more in favor of Felder, kind of like 16-4, I think. I saw something like that. So confusing, man. So I fall back on another thing I used to say. You got to overwhelmingly win rounds. Otherwise, if it goes to the judges' scorecards, this can happen.
I judged this fight a little differently the second time around. I actually used a tool when I was doing it. And I'm going to make one for you. And I want to see if you can watch the fight using that it was so much easier for me to judge the way the fight was going that I can't wait to put this thing together and watch you and John maybe try and watch a fight and see if you guys end up in the same position.
It's kind of a scorecard or that pendulum that we got from?
A little bit of like a pendulum sort of thing. But I want to see if you guys end up in the same spot. I'm trying to think of almost like a scoring system for that thing. But it really helped. And I really felt like at the end of the day, I had the right score.
Well, you know, when people talk about the pendulum, you know what I've often thought about? Think about that clock up there.
Mm-hmm.
If we took it down right now, pull the batteries out, and just use the arm of either the hour or the minute and put it on 12, all right? Mm-hmm. The fight starts, and then you can move that little arm either towards the 1 and the 2 or the 3, I guess. I don't know, depending on how much scoring you want to give, how much you want to move that thing. Or you can move it towards 11, 10, or 9 for the other guy. That's what we mean, folks, about the pendulum, using those little yardsticks, those, you know, each little minute that they represent. So 12:01 or 11:59, 12:02 or 11:58, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, something as simple as that. You know,
that's exactly what I did, except I registered almost like a point system for the movement of how it went.
Right. Now, if you're a judge and you have a tool like that sitting in front of you, I don't even know if they would allow you to bring that, you know, it's almost like you'd be bringing up bingo cards or something. But and plus,
just use your cell phone.
And how do you move it if you're not looking up at the action? You know what I mean? So you have to kind of keep it in your head. One judge taught us that. His name is
Richard Bertrand.
Richard Bertrand from Florida. He uses the pendulum system. And I've used it before, and it really, really does help.
See this?
Yeah.
This is a remote control.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was place it facing 12 o'clock, mm-hmm. and just little by little was moving around with it like that. I mean, you're not allowed to use a cell phone, but mm-hmm. you can use something like it and just play with it.
But how do you know how much you, like,
that's the system with your that I created adrenaline, in my head.
How much you moved it, you know? If you're looking up at the fights and you're just kind of moving it with your hand, how do you know that your hand equally moves left and right in terms of...
Because they were spaced out. So I used the paper mm-hmm. with... notches, right? Mm-hmm. And the notches represent something.
But
so
don't you have to look down at the notches?
Not necessarily.
No.
But each one represents something different, right? There's a smaller one for a smaller movement, bigger one for bigger, and then you just work your way back up.
And either way, you're a judge. You have to use your two eyes, right?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what it. I don't know if there's actually, like, if we gathered all the judges every weekend. Let's just say this mythical. We got this super jumbo jet, and all the judges every weekend can meet for 4 hours after every fight and discuss it for 6 straight weeks until they all finally go, all right, we're all on the same page. Every state, every province, every country, we got it. You know, I still think you're leaving the interpretation, back to them in how they interpret the rules, and there's still going to be close calls like this. It was a close fight. When I watched it second time, Hooker did have some significant strikes that I had to give him some respect for. But either way, the impression that those guys left me was validated when I watched it the second time. And according to the strikes, I still thought that was Felder's. Except again, two of the judges are going, hey, bitch, we scored it for Felder. It's just that the one that didn't was one of the ones that decided it. Now, I'd be telling those two judges that scored it for Felder, yeah, bitches, but you didn't score round two for Felder. You know what I mean? Otherwise, we wouldn't have this pickle.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how razor close this damn sport is.
So you basically
it almost had caused Felder to retire, which, by the way, he's backing off on.
You had him flip-flopping rounds, basically, right? Until the end where Felder doubles up, right? 4 and 5?
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. They all had Felder in round four. But again, on one of them, he was, I guess we call it drawing dead. He would have needed the actual finish or a 10-8, and that only would have gotten him the draw. And so we would have had a draw because one guy still would have stuck to his guns, and then the other one, because the other two did score a 10 already for Paul Felder. But yeah. Oh my God, I don't know. I was gutted for him. I had a feeling. I think I remember telling you, I go, Goz, I think he's going to retire because it looked like he wanted to take off his gloves fast. That doesn't automatically mean that. A lot of fighters can wait till they get to the back to take it off. Others just in disgust want to take it off. But he had this look to him. You know, and again, he does well, it seems like, with the UFC. But I think I immediately tweeted, Paul, you're still one of the top dogs in the yard, man. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know what I mean? Because I still see a good fighter in, you know, left in him. And I still feel like this division is so jumbled up, there might be an opportunity. Now, if he loses one more, then now your setback becomes a year and a half, 2 years. The champ doesn't defend often in this division. And that's why I say that the setback can sometimes be a couple years.
Yeah, I agree.
Hooker did the right thing, though. He called out Justin Gaethje. He was exhausted. He barely got it out, but he did get a name out. Years ago, he called out Paul Felder. That happened. Now he spoke Gaethje's name into existence. Let's see if that happens. Gaethje may well be training right now to be the backup in Brooklyn for Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson. Who knows? That's something I'd like to clarify with his agent, his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, who we frequently see at Extreme Couture. Hey, man, hey, was your guy training? Is he the side piece over here? What's going on? Conor McGregor's always said he'll be ready to fill in because he doesn't feel, it's almost like he's jinxing it. He doesn't feel like that fight's going to make it. To his credit, they've made it five times and it hasn't happened. But he feels like he might be the guy, though who knows, because every time, you know, with Conor McGregor, you just don't know. That guy's a loose cannon outside of the octagon as well. You notice that other thing didn't get spoken of about a week ago?
Yeah, not very much, huh? I think Justin should do that, but if you listen to the way he talks about his actual training camps, mm-hmm. it doesn't seem realistic. Mm-hmm. You know, he seems like he puts a lot into them.
But he's getting fucked, though. He needs a specific
amount of time.
He's currently getting fucked right now using his system. True. And so he may just have to, like, just run. Just go out there and run 5 miles a day and then just do your normal boxing, learn some techniques. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully, if something were to happen, he'd get at least a month notice to just sharpen up at that point and not just be a guy that's rolling off the couch. But, yeah, I get it. He's always said, give me 3 months. I'm not that type of guy that just comes off the couch.
Yeah.
All right. So, folks, the main event. Hooker, he defeated Felder. Now we're going to continue with this card, and then we'll start switching around. I'm not going to go to boxing, even though that arguably was the biggest main event of the night. Tyson Fury did get the big win over Deontay Wilder. All right, Jimmy Crute defeated Michal Olenekchik. That not much happened in that fight other than Crute looked great, man. I'm excited about that guy as a prospect.
Stock goes up, right?
Like, hell yeah. A lot. I mean, he mauled him, goes. He mauled him. Jimmy Crute is only 23 years of age. He's from Australia. And now in the UFC, he's 4-1. No, if you throw in Contender Series, we're not going to throw in Contender Series. He's 3-1, just as a UFC guy. He's 11-1 overall. His only loss is to Misha Cirkunov. And I think he mentioned Cirkunov. He wants to get that one back. Let me tell you something, Jimmy Crute. When you win a fight like that, you can start shooting for someone else and deal with Cirkunov at some other point. I don't think you need to go right that wrong just yet, right?
No, I don't think so. We hear a lot of fighters talk about how these things affect them, but I would actually say if he's 100% healthy, keep that momentum going because it's fresh right in everybody's head right now. I really think he can make some big waves if he just keeps active.
Yeah. And so the theme here goes, what I noticed was, there was a lot of fighters that I'm excited about. Now, even though some of them won by maulings, I still see some talent. That Yan Zhanan destroyed Karolina Kovacevic. Have you seen Karolina Kovacevic's face?
Yeah, let me ask you this.
Have you seen her left eye? It's jacked up, and that's the good eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God knows what that right eye looks like. Oh, my God. She said she broke a bone, and that's why, you know, she was pawing at it pretty much the entire fight. It was really sad to see that fight. I was surprised that it didn't get stopped earlier because she just didn't seem like somebody that could intelligently defend herself. You know,
it just
didn't look very, very good on paper. Or, I mean, you know, on camera. So I was surprised that they let that fight go as long as they did. And then afterwards, she had a little kind of an emotional Instagram post.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just sucks. It's four straight for her. I don't know that the UFC is going to really do much here. I think their hands are tied. I mean, very few people get that fifth shot.
Plus, didn't she say about a year ago that her boyfriend or partner wanted her to have kids and she was holding off for now because I think she felt like, let me just see if I can get on a run. Girl, mm-hmm. you're not on a run. The run's over, and you don't show the skills that you once did. And I honestly, I don't even know how she got to those upper echelon fights, because she just doesn't have much pop. There's not much, what's it called? When you have, oh my God. But there's a term for that. When you, the ability to just jump and dunk. What's that called? I'm blanking out.
Explosion?
Yeah, explosion. Well, there's another word. It'll hit me. But she just doesn't have enough of that. You know what I mean? Yeah, oomph, explosion, athleticism. She just moves really, really slow, and she's going to get hurt out there. Let me tell you something. And plus, where is the advisement from either coaches, managers, somebody, all right? People are just putting out tweets, putting out apologies. But what I'm getting at, why is this girl doing that video without sunglasses?
I think she just wanted to show everybody just how raw the sport can be. You know, this is probably the lowest of moments for her, and I think she wanted everyone to see.
You can get away with it. I think when you win, you can be in the hospital. You can do the hospital shot or whatever when you win. But when you lose, I don't know, man. In this day and age, that's out there forever.
Maybe. I think it's a good reminder, though, for people. You know, there's a lot of internet bullies out there. I think it's a nice reminder to just remind people just how brutal the sport can be, what it does to people.
Well, that Yan Xiaonan looks really, really good. Marcos Rogério de Lima, he looks really, really good. He's taken a couple losses, but his power against the right guys, you can just tell we got ourselves a fight, you know, but obviously he's going to have to shore up some other holes in his game. Brad Riddell, he looks good. Zubaira Tukagov, he looks good. Jalen Turner, he's had a couple losses, but man, he's getting better as well. He's turning it around, and his losses have been to pretty decent fighters. Jake Matthews, we've always felt that way about him. Song Kennan, he looked good as well. Kai Kara France, back in the win column. He lost to Brandon Moreno, but Brandon Moreno's no joke, but he looked good. So a lot came out of a card like this, when in reality, it wasn't the sexiest card. And we've been complaining a little bit that 2019 has started off a little bit soft, I guess, I think it's a matchup problem, because some of these fighters are really good, but the matchups I just don't get as excited about. I mean, look, the co-main event, folks, was Jimmy Crute versus this Michelle Olesicic, and Crute looked good, but on paper, if you're buying a ticket, you're not excited about that in the co-main event. You want a really, really good matchup.
I think on TV, we had a good night. I thought it was a fun card. I think if you were in the audience, in attendance that night, you probably had a great night. It just seemed like the pacing of the card, it just seemed like a lot of fun. And then, you know, anytime you can end on a main event like that, it's pretty amazing. But it goes back to something that I've been stressing, is like, think about what those extra two rounds did to those guys. Look at their faces at the end of round three, and then look at it at the end of round five. It's like, this is a brutal sport, man. Adding them two rounds.
I wouldn't want to do it all the time. I would only want to do it because they do like the main event fight night cards, because all the attention's on them. They're on a poster, and it gives them the experience. So when they fight in a title, they now can, you know, they know what those 25 minutes are like. But I agree with you. No more than one, because they do take a lot off. I mean, they basically did a fight and 2/3 of another fight.
Yeah.
All right. So, listen, that was the card out there in Auckland, New Zealand. The bonuses went to Hooker and Felder for Fight of the Night, Crute and Priscilla Cachoeira for Performance of the Night. $1,239,000 and some change was the total gate. 10,025 souls were inside the Spark Arena. I did mention everybody else, right? Yeah. Angela Hill got a win. Many props to her. Like, that's 6 wins in 12 months or something like that. She beat a record held by Donald Cerrone. Priscilla Cachoeira also got things started off with a punch. I don't know if I mentioned her name before. I mentioned her name as one of the bonuses, but she had a really, really nice punch on Shanna Dobson. Remember, we're not often talking about one first round KOs in women's MMA.
Yeah, no, I mean, unless you're talking like Jessica Andrade or someone like that, somebody with a lot of power. It doesn't really happen too often, so when it does, we jump out of our seats.
All right, Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Man, this fight was one of the biggest heavyweight fights in the last 30 years. Both guys were undefeated. They fought once before to a draw. Fury showed us in the first fight that he's an amazing boxer. And Wilder showed us that he's won every fight but one via KO because he's got amazing power. And that's how they got to a draw. They can both talk up a good game. One guy's from the UK where their fans travel well. And hell, one could argue the arena was louder for him than for the American. The fight took place here in the United States, in Las Vegas to be exact. I mean, it ticked every single box, goes. You know what I mean? And in the end, we got a one-sided mauling. Could not believe it.
I can't believe, like, even from the get-go, the walkouts were, I think they put WWE to shame at some point. Like, it was pretty crazy. You could see the atmosphere there and just how nuts everybody was for the fight. It's something that we talk a lot about in MMA that's missing a little bit, especially ever since the Reebok era. You know, back in Pride, the walkouts were amazing. You'd be fired up for just about every fight. Here, I think people were excited, but I think it was one of those, all right, already, let's just get to the fight. When the fight happened, I mean, it was a mauling. It was one-sided.
We definitely couldn't do that for every fight in MMA, but, you know, on the cards.
Mm-hmm.
But the main events, every once in a while, could get that. One would argue, oh, that's what you give the Conors of the world and the Habibs of the world. How about
just pay-per-view?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
You're definitely never going to forget them. Both of them. If this was your first time tuning in for those two fighters,
mm-hmm.
you'll never forget that. I mean, it'll be easy to describe who the hell you're talking about. That guy that came in with that crazy mask. Oh, okay, Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
That guy that came in carried. Oh, Tyson Fury. I mean, that's how people remember these fighters.
I agree. A ramp, production, something, man. It's what makes... It's actually what turns a lot of fighters, it helps turn a lot of fighters into superstars, especially if they followed up with a big performance. But again, I think the UFC always seems to stifle their athletes. And if the guys and gals get there on their own, great. Hey, we'll promote them. We'll make money together. But those three letters at the forefront, UFC, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Anyway, congratulations to Tyson Fury. I imagine him and Anthony Joshua. I can already see it. Wembley Stadium. 90,000 people in that stadium in London at some point in the summer. Who knows? It's going to be massive, but kind of bummed because American heavyweights, you know, in boxing, that was just something I grew up with, man. Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Larry Holmes, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield. I mean, I had a lot of eras, man. Hopefully we can get that one back. Over in Bellator, let's go through this real fast. In Dublin, Ireland, Brent Primus defeated Chris Bungard. This was one of those cards where they kind of separated it into two. Like one of them was a series, one of them had a European title. So it's going to sound like there was three cards, but there was two, basically. Beck Rawlings, Ricky Bandejas got wins as well. Bellator 7, Europe. The main event there was Liam McCourt versus Judith Ruiz. There you go. That's pretty much all we can tell you, man. Georgie Karakanyan, shout out to him. He got a win on that card. You know, we followed that guy for a long time. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, he may have been on Bellator 1 or something. He was one of the OGs over at Bellator. It's unfortunate he never got to fight once in the UFC, but you won't recognize any of the other names, so I'll keep skipping ahead. Bellator 239. Ed Ruth versus Yaroslav Amosov. Amosov defeated Ed Ruth via unanimous decision, 29-28 across the board. Miles Jury defeated Brandon Gertzkos. Timothy Johnson from Extreme Couture got the win over Tyrell Fortune, who was previously undefeated. Beautiful knockout in round one.
Yeah, that was I thought that was going to be a double knockout because they both hit each other pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because we did an interview with Timothy Johnson. He was saying that he kind of understands that as much as he wanted to get better at striking, his bread and butter is wrestling, and kind of led us to believe that that's where he was going to go. But he threw a hell of a haymaker, and it landed. So, yeah. I mean, good on him.
Valentin Moldavsky versus Javi Ayala. Moldavsky won and kind of blasted him. I've always thought Javi Ayala is a tough out, but, I mean, I think there was two 30-24s and a 30-25 in the scores. Gaston Bolanos goes. He's 5-3. We can't seem to get that guy going. He's an amazing striker, but, you know, he's still working on the all-around game. He lost a split decision. However, Keith Lee from Extreme Couture defeated Sean Bunch, who's been around the sport for a long time. So huge, huge win for him.
That's a great win, especially in the way he did it. You know, he showed different avenues of victory, different folds in his game. That flying knee was just pinpoint. It was great. Mm-hmm. And Sean Bunch is a tough guy. He's been around for a while now.
Yeah. Over in Hamamatsu, Japan, Ryzen FF21 took place. They have their fair share of fighters there that are starting to become recognizable, but they didn't have too many of them. Honestly, this card was almost like they just had to fulfill an obligation, whether it was the TV or just giving fighters fights on their card. But man, I was struggling for some of the names on who some of these guys and gals were. I did recognize Victor Henry, who's from Cali, and he's worked out with, or he's like a Josh Barnett protege. But about it, man. In the main event, Mikuru Asakura defeated Danielle Salas. I think other than Dan from Morgan, I didn't know anybody excited about this fight card.
Yeah, not really, man. Especially with everything else that was going on too.
Yeah. Let's get to that everything else now with the news. All right. I don't know where to go with this one, man. Israel Adesanya said something unfortunate. He's already apologized, and we're all going to move on from it. It has to be said, though, because there's no arguments, man. These type of things get talked about when somebody just says something that's rather insensitive. No, folks, he didn't go racial. No, folks, he didn't go homophobic or anything. He just happened to use arguably the greatest tragedy in our country as a reference to what he's going to do to Yoel Romero. He's going to make him, quote, crumble like the Twin Towers. Now, since then, Adesanya has already apologized, and he said it in a way that I really understood it. And he said, sometimes your mind and your mouth just aren't in sync. I goofed. I shouldn't have done it. But with that said, goes, and this is a guy, this is me, I really respect and like Israel Adesanya. Like, I can tell you, that guy's got a good heart. You know what I mean? He's not like a... He seems to be doing a lot of his talking with his fists and his kicks and his feet or his shins or whatever you want to call it, his knees, and not necessarily having to manufacture much. He's, you know, been able to back it up. But his apology just seemed... I would have wanted more something... See, he's a world champion. He's undefeated. And he aspires to be maybe the greatest mixed martial artist ever. Then you know what? Everything across the board should be that way. You know what I mean? And by that I mean, goes, carve out a press release, put it out the proper way, and also put it on your social media. Don't just do it in passing. And that's it. Mm-hmm. That's my only criticism. You know what I mean? And again, he's with a guy in Adi Attar, and who also represents NFL people and has been doing this for a long time. I just think that, man, just do it right. Do it like the professional that you are. You know, the same way you threw out something that you shouldn't have thrown out, guess what? Shore it up, do it right, and then we all move on.
Yeah, he dropped the ball on this one. I mean, there's no way around it. It was a terrible thing to say. It was borderline dumb. But MMA fighters have just had so many things against them lately that I really do want to just move on with this. He did apologize, but... You know, you're right. It's the manner in which he did it. It was Instagram stories. You know, it's like something of that magnitude deserves more attention. And I like the guy. I really do. And so do 99% of the stuff he does, I'm all for it. I think he's great for the sport. But he has to realize that he offended a lot of people on this one. And your apology needs to match what you did.
Right. And remember that there's a lot of things he could say. There's a lot of things. There's hotels that have crumbled here in Vegas because they've imploded them. They've basically gone out of business. So if you want to use that, you can always go to, I'm going to sink you like the Titanic. The last person that was on the Titanic, who I think was 6 months old, they passed away like 10 years ago. Like, I think the sensitivity's over there. You know what I mean? The movies have been made and everything. This tragedy was not even 20 years old. There are still people living that witnessed it, may have escaped from it, or may have lost loved ones. Plus, again, the significance of it, you know, one, a terrorist attack versus our country, just, and he knows better. I know he knows better. again, he explained it best. I think in his moment of trying to trash talk, as his mind was computing, I'm going to make this guy crumble. He effed up. We get that part. But just shore it up, Izzy. You're a champ. You're a top-notch guy who's done things right in the sport for the very small amount of time that you've been in. You know what I mean? Take that extra step that before your fingers get going, show it to someone. Call your manager. Talk it out. Take it serious. If you're serious about putting an apology, then take it serious and do it the proper way. And remember what I always say goes, less is better. Get that my apologies or get that I am sorry. Get those words out. But then the less that you say after that, you know, the better in that there's just less for people to scrutinize. Because that's what this – that's what we live in now is this moment where people just sift through all your letters and words and, oh, he misspelled in his apology. Oh, he did this. You know, you can never get it right. So keep it short and sweet.
I don't even agree with giving an explanation as to why you did it or anything. It was just such a wrong thing to say that there really is no defense to it. Just say you're wrong. I mean, if it's a mistake, then you probably would have realized it at the moment, right? When it came out of your mouth. Oh, I can't believe I said that. I'm sorry. You apologize right then and there.
Yeah, you know, Michael Bisping once did that. Michael Bisping once said something homophobic after the Rockhold win. It was in the post fight. And he goes, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. He said it quick. And no one really buried him on that one. And trust me, man, athletes, celebrities can get buried. And by the way, I want everyone to know, I personally wasn't offended by it. I just knew that this kid was going to get a lot of grief from it, from a lot of people that were offended by it. In this country, that's just the way they are. So I don't want people to think that because we're spending time on it, like, oh my God, Goz and I could not get any sleep last night because of it all. That's not the case. All we're saying is we look out for these athletes, and I don't know. I think a lot of them could just get things done a little bit better. Here's another thing I wanted to say with that, and then we'll put this to bed. Paulo Costa writes, Adesanya, you're a disgusting piece of shit. How dare you make a joke disrespecting the thousands who died and the heroic fighters and police? I will really kill you, dirty Kiwi. All right, now listen. I doubt Paulo Costa was really offended by it. I got to believe Eric Albarracin, his coach, probably said, hey, this is a good time to poke that bear. The guy that overlooked you and wanted to go with Romero, and he wouldn't wait 2 more months till you would be healthy, get under his skin, write this. Hell, he may have wrote it for him, you know, but that whole how dare you make a joke. I once again, I think that one could have been done a little bit better just so that it makes it sound that it's coming from someone like that realizes that for another country in which he makes, you know, he works for a company based in the country that you just disrespected. Blah, 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 dirty Kiwi, whatever he wants to say. But he almost made it sound like he was the one offended himself. And I think I can read through that.
A little bit.
And if I can, trust me, others can.
I'm curious to see
how. Do it right, folks. Take the time to do it right.
You, at a Stylebender fight, very few people root against that guy because he's so likable, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see if this changes anything in that regard. I think it will be okay, too.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. That's such a sensitive subject. You never know.
Yeah, I agree. So, hey, real quick. So, do you want to see Hooker versus Gaethje next, by the way?
I mean, I don't mind anything Justin Gaethje. I really think Gaethje needs to make money. He's only going to be young so long. I think he needs to take a fight. So, this kind of does make sense. However, I don't think it's going to be the play.
When we're done recording, we hit refresh on MMA Junkie and it says either Khabib or Tony's out. Connor's in, basically, right?
I think it depends how much time. You know, the sooner the better.
Yeah, just right now. I said if we refresh.
Yeah. Oh, right now,
it's February 24th and that fight's not until like the first week of April. So they would have 6 weeks. That's Connor's fight. I don't think Dana's going to allow anything else other than that to happen.
I think it is.
Is it only his if Tony drops out?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point, too. But I don't know that...
Because it would be for Connor's, the interim at that point, right? Connor versus Ferguson if Khabib dropped out?
Connor's dealing with probably a lot of personal stuff right now. So I don't know how much that changed the landscape of what's going on here. So it's tough to say.
Do you think Felder should retire? If he hit you up and said, it goes, I've gotten to know you. Give me your advice.
Knowing him, I would say, yeah.
Retire?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I don't think he has to. I don't think it's because his skills aren't there. I just, this is a very dangerous sport, and you have to be all in. And I think that guy right now wants to be a dad. And fortunately for him, he's done things in his career where he has a backup plan. And that backup plan still allows him to be involved in the sport that he loves. So I would probably say yeah, but it's not.
But what would be the backup? So let me challenge you here. What's the backup plan? Because I don't think he could just make a living on announcing every 3 weeks or once a month. It's not like he announces that much either. He's one of them. He's part of the rotation. So does that mean he goes off and does something else? Let's say a lot of fighters, for example, have become firefighters. Maybe that's a poor example on my defense. But what I was going to say was he goes out and gets an 8-to-5. That doesn't mean he's going to be near his daughter. He's going to be near his daughter in that he gets to see her every day. And that's important.
That's big.
Yeah, it is. However, right now, when he is away on camp, he does have the flexibility. What I'm saying is maybe Monday through Thursday and come home Friday through Sunday and then go back. Luckily, Philly to Milwaukee is not the longest flight in the world. But when he's with her, that's valuable. So like right now when the fight's off, dude, those two can go off on a little mini vacation for her upcoming spring break. If it's during the summer, they can take a whole month off.
Can they? They can do a lot of things. His face is mauled right now. Like, is he going to want to be in public with his daughter? I don't know.
Dude, well, I said coming up because spring break's still another month away or whatever. But in the summer, they can take a lot of time. Like, you can spend a lot of daddy daughter time when you have no other commitment because you're basically not training. In fact, when she goes to sleep, you can go off and get some miles in or get some training in. So I think he was just being emotional. I love where Paul Felder's at right now. I think he's still within some sort of striking distance. He's won his last 5 lightweight fights. I'm putting the Mike Perry fight to the side. One of them was Barbosa. One of them was Vic. And one of them was Charles Oliveira. Hell, even when he beat Stevie Ray, that's nothing you just sweep under the rug. All right? His losses have been to Hooker and Francisco Trinaldo. He does have one original one to Edson Barbosa, but I'm talking about the last 3 years. I still think he has a card to play here. One more card to play in terms of relevancy to be a contender at 155 pounds. I'd love for him to continue.
I think he does too. I agree. I'm just thinking of the way he looked at the end of this fight, the injury he suffered with Mike Perry. His body's going through a lot. He just doesn't strike me as one of the guys that has to do this because there are no other avenues. You know, he's done acting. He's lived in that world before, and we've seen a lot of crossover with mixed martial artists into that world as well. So I would say that if it's enough to make you break down in front of millions of people, that's pretty strong pain, and it's something that probably needs to be addressed.
How about Zabit Magomed Sharipov? He says that at UFC 249... And I misspoke earlier. UFC 248 is the one that's coming up here in March. So UFC 249 is headlined by Khabib versus Tony Ferguson. He says he'll be fighting a top 5 opposition, but it's not set yet. Who do you think he could be talking about? I looked in the rankings, and the only one I think he could be talking about, but I'm looking at the USA Today sports rankings, the only ones that matter, all right, at featherweight, who's not booked, is Brian Ortega. A fight that was supposed to happen like about a year ago, I think it used to get talked about, maybe even a year and a half ago. Because Volkanovski versus Holloway looks all but set. And the only other ones I see is Aldo, who just basically became a bantamweight. So if he's saying top 5, all I see is Brian Ortega. Now remember, we include Bellator fighters in our rankings. 6 is Frady, 7 is AJ McKee. Now we get to Chan Sung Jung, Frankie Edgar, Hanato Moicano. I know Moicano's booked. Perhaps the Korean Zombie. He doesn't have a fight booked.
I'd have to look, but those are the only people that would match and his criteria.
It ain't going to be Frankie because Frankie's coming off losses. Way. He's considering bantamweight, and Ali manages both guys, and I just don't see that fight happening. So the only other person I can think of is maybe the Korean Zombie if he hasn't been booked, which I don't think as of this moment he has a fight booking. Let me confirm here.
I mean, there's not very many options, so I don't even know. I don't understand why you don't just come out and say it at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But I like the guy's exciting. He's fun. I want to see him back in the cage.
Yeah. Do you want to see Angela Hill fight? Do you want her to take some time off or just keep up this pace, girl?
I'd like to see her take some time off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is the time where you can get better. And if she's serious about making a title run, I think that's necessary.
Pretty cool, though, how she's just turning around saying, I'm in, mm-hmm. you know, and in 2 weeks she's taking home your show money and win bonus. You know what I mean? That's pretty damn cool. And she's going through her next contract. She has a little bit of leverage. She's becoming the Cerrone of female mixed martial arts. You know, the UFC loves that. So I think she probably bought herself about a good 2 to 4 years in the company. I mean, she'd have to go 0-4 at this point. You know what I mean? For her to basically get dismissed. All right, I just want to finish with one last thing here, goes. Submission Underground 11 took place. Mike Perry outlasted Al Iaquinta in submission grappling. That's Chael Sonnen's show up there in Portland, Oregon.
I think it's cool that fighters have this avenue to make some extra dough. It seems like they like it, and it seems like Chael Sonnen treats them very well. They mm-hmm. make pretty decent paychecks. I think it's pretty cool. I want grappling to catch on. I mean, I had a blast at Quintet. We've gone to the last two.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like for this to catch on.
They had a tag team of Kyle Boehm and Vinny Magalhães versus Craig Jones and Nicky Rodriguez. Boehm and Rodriguez defeated them via escape time. Richie Martinez, by the way, defeated Jake Shields. Austin Vandeford, better known as Paige VanZant's husband. But by the way, I don't want to disrespect Vandeford because I've seen him fight now a couple times. Once at Final Fight and over at Bellator. He's good, man. He really is.
And Dana White's Contender Series.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He defeated Micah Brakefield. And then other than that, some of the other names you really, really wouldn't recognize unless you're hardcore. But check it out. The results are there on MMA Junkie. But some MMA folk were part of this card, so that's why I wanted to give them some love. All right, with that goes, basically at this point, we'll on Thursday's show, we'll address Figueiredo versus Benavidez. Pretty cool, right? Finally, a bright light on the flyweights after all they've been through here in the UFC. They'll have themselves a champ. This is for the vacant UFC flyweight title out in Norfolk, Virginia. And then that's followed up by Israel Adesanya versus Yoel Romero.
It's going to get cooking here.
Yep. With that, folks, we're out of here. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at The Goes. The radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. Thank you very much for your support. Go out there and be a champion.